Let's all bow before Almighty Yahweh. Father, we come before you today. We thank you for the blessings that you've given to all of us. We pray that we would serve you with righteousness and with proper devotion always. Father, we pray that in this evil world, this evil generation, that you would cover us with your wings, with your provision and protection. And Father, we just thank you for all the good things you've given to us and pray that your blessings would be upon those here and those watching and all your people throughout this world. We know there are many. And Father, we just thank you now and we give you all praise in Yahshua's beloved name. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all may be seated. It's good to see everybody here. I was away last week. It's amazing. You miss one Sabbath. It just seems like I said, been forever. So anyways, good to be back. Good to see everybody here. I'd like to extend a greetings to those online. Now, I'm sure many of you, you've heard this term, this phrase, the Great Reset. There's been many books written on this, and if you listen to Glenn Beck, this is something he mentions pretty often. When I first heard the phrase Great Reset, or this, at the time, I probably would have said conspiracy theory, I was a little bit dismissive of the whole idea. But over time, I've come to believe that there's something to it, that there's really something to this Great Reset, and something we as believers, we need to understand. There's no doubt that there is a push by many of the elite to radically transform this nation and this world. They are pushing to eliminate fossil fuels for green and renewable energy, which is fine if the energy or the technology was there, but it's not there yet. They also desire to distribute wealth, not only here in this nation, but really around the world. I believe that this is why some are deliberately trying to destroy the economy of this nation. They realize that to achieve this Great Reset, that they must change and alter what is here in this great nation in many ways. We also see the alliance of crime and lawlessness, especially within these larger cities. We're seeing every day, it seems, a new story. Again, I believe that this is being done to usher in this new world order, this Great Reset. And they are also doing their very best to destroy Christianity, to destroy religion within this nation. I believe that they are weaponizing things like the LGBT and this transgender movement to achieve this sinister goal. You know, we see this especially within the public school system. Even here in mid-Missouri, are we beginning to see a push for transgenderism. This is one reason why my daughters will no longer be attending the public school system beginning this fall. Both will be homeschooled. So let's talk about this Great Reset. What is this? The Great Reset. Well, here's a quote from the World Economic Forum. So this is the website of the actual organization. It says that the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. You see, this verbiage, the Great Reset, is not something these conspiracy theorists have come up with. This is something that this organization has coined. Of course, this is from Professor Klaus Schwab, founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum. It's important to recognize here that this quote is directly, again, from the World Economic Forum's website. This is not from some sort of conspiracy website or some book of some sort. What I find alarming about this is that they are no longer hiding their agenda. I think for years, obviously, many, many years, hundreds of years, they've been striving for this goal. But today, they no longer even attempt to hide their agenda. They realize that from the pandemic, they have a small window of opportunity to, again, radically transform this world. Now, the way they put it is reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. That's their language. But they desire to change what exists today. So again, they were not hiding their agenda. They want to radically reimagine and reset this world. And while some may still say that this is simply a conspiracy theory, in this case, I would more tend to disagree. I believe that this is beyond a conspiracy theory. So, do we know what they are planning? Do we know what is included within this great reset? Or again, sometimes Wikipedia is a good source, and they actually do quote from the World Economic Forum. So here's what it says. It says, a great reset is a name of the 50th annual meeting of the World Economic Forum. So again, this is something they used. This is their vernacular. This is their language. This is their nomenclature, the great reset, or the reset. Held in June of 2020, the meeting brought together high-profile business and political leaders convened by Charles, Prince of Wales, and the WEF, which again is a World Economic Forum, with a theme of seizing upon the global crisis to rebuild society and the economy following the COVID-19 pandemic. WEF Chief Executive Officer Klaus Schwab described three core components of the Great Reset. The first involved creating conditions for a, quote, stakeholder economy. And you can find these terms on their website, stakeholder economy. We'll look at that in more detail. The second component includes building a more resilient, equitable, and sustainable way based on environmental, social, and governance. It's known as ESG, by the way. Metrics, which would incorporate more green public infrastructure projects, which we're seeing with this current administration. And the third component is to, quote, harness the innovations of the fourth industrial revolution for public good. So from this, we find that there are three major goals with this World Economic Forum. Goal one is to create conditions for what they are calling or describing as stakeholder economy. Stakeholder economy. Now, what is meant by this? Or the World Economic Forum's website, here's what it says. It says, quote, stakeholder capitalism is a form of capitalism in which companies seek long-term value creation by taking into account the needs of all their stakeholders and society at large. For me, this sounds an awful lot like socialism, globalism. And we're seeing a push for globalism today, and I believe they're using this pandemic to even push this agenda even further. Globalism, socialism. Goal two here is to build a more, quote, resilient, equitable, and sustainable way based on environmental, social, and governance, and I guess ESG metrics, which would incorporate more public infrastructure projects, more green public infrastructure projects. This here is all about removing fossil fuels, replacing it then with green energy, with renewable energy. And again, I'm not opposed to renewable energy. I think it's great if we can use renewable energy. But renewable energy has to be a valuable option, and right now it is not. The technology certainly is not there, so they are trying to remove the use of, again, fossil fuels. And, of course, we see high gas prices. We see them manipulating and, again, deliberately trying to remove the fossil fuels. This is also the main reason, again, we're seeing the inflation that we're seeing today and so much of the prices increase. I believe we could quickly resolve the high gas prices and much of the inflation if not for the Great Reset and this determination to move away from fossil fuels and into a green energy or renewable energy. Now, the third goal here is to, quote, harness the innovation of the fourth industrial revolution for public good. This is kind of scary when you think about it. I have a slide on this. Again, this is from the World Economic Forum website. This is a fourth industrial revolution promises shared prosperity and heralds smart solutions to the world's most intractable challenges. So it's a world effort, global effort. However, its exponential pace often overwhelms existing institutions, leaving societies exposed to uncontrolled risks and unhealthy balances, while deprived of unprecedented opportunities. The Center for the Fourth Industrial Revolution shapes new policies and strategies in areas such as artificial intelligence. And I'm in IT. I hear this a lot. This is certainly a growing trend, artificial intelligence. Blockchain, cryptocurrency, really, is what that is. Digital assets, the Internet of Things. Internet of Things is a general term, by the way. Just refers to anything that requires like an internet connection. So it's almost many. This refers to many things, Internet of Things. Anything refers to some sort of internet, it requires an internet connection. Goes on to say autonomous vehicles, self-driving vehicles, and enables agile implementation and iteration via its fast-growing network of national and subnational centers. The center is hosted by the World Economic Forum, the International Organization for Public-Private Cooperation. Its approach is to level up local policy expertise and ownership with global network-based learning and scaling via multi-stakeholder communities and initiatives. Global visibility and its trusted status as an international organization. So what are some of the takeaway points we find here? We see that this fourth industrial revolution includes things like artificial intelligence. And I do believe that this can be very sinister when you understand the capability of artificial intelligence and where, when and how they could use this technology. We also see blockchain. Again, blockchain is simply cryptocurrency. Digital assets, again, going back to things like cryptocurrency. The Internet of Things. The Internet of Things, again, is anything that connects to the Internet. It can be many, many devices from a cashier to many things that would connect to the Internet. And, again, autonomous or self-driving vehicles. So what are some of the common threads we find? They're all connected, I believe, with the expansion of this digital age, including the replacement of modern currency with blockchain, also again known as cryptocurrency. In the end, I believe all of this is to usher in a new world order, to again reset, to change, to modify, so that what we use now and those things that divide this world now will be eliminated. I believe all of this is to move forward with this new world order. And you think about it, new world order, this is simply saying a new system. I know new world order has been used for decades. But if you think about the meaning of new world order, it is simply referring to a new way of doing things. And I believe the new world order here is really globalism. And we certainly know that the Bible speaks about globalism, speaks about a man of sin, speaks about how this world will be connected. We know this from prophecy. We know that the man of sin will inevitably control this world. Or that will be a great reset. That will be a new world order. That will be a form of globalism that we've never seen. But before that occurs, they must remove traditional things like religion and those things that divide us amongst the world. They must remove even divisions, I believe, of currency, that the American dollar would no longer be used. Instead, we would have a global cryptocurrency, a blockchain that could be used anywhere. Can bring us together, remove that division. Again, I believe all of this is pushing toward this globalism, toward this new world order, to this great reset. Now, am I saying that this great reset, this World Economic Forum, am I saying that this is end time prophecy, that this is will usher in the man of sin? Or there is potential. I believe there is potential. But whether it does or does not, I believe it is a real threat to this nation and our way of life. They are deliberately trying to change the way of life. You know, the other thing, too, I don't really have it here, but it was reported, I believe, in Fox News that many of these billionaires, like Bill Gates, buying up large farmlands. Well, why are they doing that? And they're removing it. They are no longer raising crops on this land. You know, I believe that this could lead to a very bad situation, as we're already seeing in this nation, with high inflation, with issues with the supply chain, with a shortage of food. Now, in addition to the Great Reset, I believe we are seeing other concerns. In many ways, I believe they all, though, are part of the same agenda. So either Great Reset, but within that reset, we have many, many attempts to, again, dissolve and change our current system. Again, we know inevitably that all of this is being done by Satan the devil. We know that this is Satan's world. We know that Satan wants to usher in this time of globalism, this new world order, to usher in this man of sin, this anti-Messiah, so that he can do his very worst. He is the one who desires to bring the end upon mankind. So what are some of the other concerns that we are seeing? For me, and I want to actually spend quite a bit of time talking about this, for me, one of my main concerns is the supply chain in the food shortage. I believe it's time that we take notice as an assembly and as Yahweh's people, that we take notice, to the food crisis that we are seeing. The problem is, once it's too late, or it's too late. Now is the time for us to take notice. Now is the time. Here are a few articles I want to share with you. And again, there's many other articles. I mean, I could have read articles the entire 2-3 hours if I wanted to. But here's just some examples. It's from worldbank.org. July 5th, 2022, so fairly new, fairly recent. It says record high food prices have triggered a global crisis that will drive millions more into extreme poverty, magnifying hunger and malnutrition and threatening to erase hard-won gains in development. The war in Ukraine, supply chain disruptions, and the continued economic fallout of the COVID-19 pandemic are reversing years of development gains and pushing food prices to all-time highs. Rising food prices have a greater impact on people in low and middle income countries, since they spend a larger share of their income on food at raising food insecurity and World Bank responses to date. So again, that's from the World Bank. And again, we see Ukraine mentioned, the supply chain mentioned, COVID-19 mentioned. And I wonder, I do believe that very likely this war in Ukraine is, again, maybe all connected to this Great Reset. Removing, I don't know if you know or not, many of you probably know, that there's a lot of wheat and other crops that are grown in Ukraine that really provides not only for Ukraine, but much of the world. And so far, much of that crop is still in Ukraine because of the war. Here's another article, fertilizer shortages could pinch 2023 food supply. This is Ontario Federation of Agriculture, July 5th, 2022. Mark Brewster, Vice President of the Ontario Federation of Agriculture and the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture, fears there may be food shortage next year, farmers can't get fertilizer. So you see, there's even in this regard, it is slowing production. Global tariffs have bumped up the price of fertilizer in Canada, making it harder for farmers to get their hands on it and affecting their ability to grow their crops and other food sources, said Rooser. If we can't access fertilizer, not only us here in Ontario and Canada, but around the world, we're in real trouble in terms of crop production and food production because we may not be able to produce enough, said Rooser. When people don't have a food, governments become unstable. And that's something you want, and that's not something you want to see. And that's true. You know, when supply chains are interrupted, when food shortages occur, chaos very quickly erupts. So here's another article in PR.org. It says, with food prices climbing, the UN is warning of crippling global shortages. This was of May 23, 2022. It says, your fears of global food crisis are growing due to the shock of the war in Ukraine, climate change, and rising inflation. The UN estimates that in the past year, global food prices have risen by almost one-third, fertilizer by more than half, and oil prices by almost two-thirds. According to UN figures, the number of severely food insecure people have doubled in the past 2 years, from 135 million pre-pandemic to 276 million today. Now, more than half a million people are experiencing famine conditions, according to the UN, increase of more than 500% since 2016. Between the recent pandemic, the war in Ukraine, as we've seen, the price of fertilizer and other reasons, we're seeing some major threats to our food supply. And I know in this nation we have an abundance, and I will say that we will probably be one of the last to be hindered by this crisis. But if the crisis continues to grow, it is not inevitable that this could not happen here. I think so many people in this nation, they believe we're too big to fail. We've all heard that term, too big to fail. That there's no way people would ever starve here. That there's not a scenario that exists where food supplies would diminish in this nation. I believe it's a real, but also here in this nation. According to the UN, 500,000 people are experiencing famine conditions, an increase, it says, of more than 500% since 2016. Now, this message is not meant to scare you, by the way, but it is meant as an alarm and a call to action, to do something. And that something is to prepare for what is to come, what could come upon this world, including this nation. This is not only a national threat, but is a global threat that could impact millions, if not billions, of people. I want to share a quick video. This is a farmer in Texas, but it gives us a very intimate story of how she and so many others are suffering today. So it's a three-minute video. I believe it really hits home and helps us understand the crisis at hand.
Hello, Patera. I live in Texas. We farm a ranch over 1,000 acres of land. Some of our land has been in the family for 82 years. In January, we will pass the milestone of 83 years in the same county. We have seen ups and downs, not anything like this. We have been married for over 50 years. Our kids are grown and farm or ranch in other parts of Texas. What the farmers and ranchers are dealing with now is a huge mess. My husband is now in his 70s and he is so stressed out. It's a roll of the dice this year. We have only 2 3/4 inches of rain on record since last August. Our farmland was planted in hopes of rain. Now it's dying in the fields. You can't afford to pump water with the electric bills out of the roof. I've seen $250,000 in our bills for that 1 month. How do you pay that? We are letting it burn up. Our wheat this spring didn't make it. It just didn't grow. The wheat was to be baled to feed cattle all winter. What we did get was just enough for seed for the wheat crop this fall. There is a lot of fields here with no crops. It's been 107 degrees and full wind, more hot wind than I can ever remember. It's like an oven when you have to work out in it. Our cattle are drinking gallons of water each day. We pump and store 500-barrel tanks for them and are worried it might not hold up. We sold hundreds of head due to no rain and cattle just can't eat the dirt. We are now down to our seed cattle and trying to hold on to them. There will be no cotton, peanuts, and wheat crops for many of us in Texas. I have a little garden and I'm canning everything I can. I'm trying to get everything put up as much as I can to hold us until things get better. I know this dry spell will take years to get the farmers and land back to growing food. Texas is running out of water. Many states are. We can't grow food without water. I feel that we all have to put up enough for 3 years, if not more. I've been putting up for the last two, but now with no rain and no crops in a lot of states, that might not be enough. It's really time to get in the saddle and go to work and getting your family ready for what's coming. We, the farmers and ranchers, can see how bad things are getting from our end. Even if we get rain, it's going to take a lot. We will not be able to plant until next spring. That year of food and fiber is completely lost for America. America needs to bend its knee and pray. Pray, pray for our country. Bring us back to dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91:1. Thank you for your hard work and your channel. I enjoy you so. Prayers and blessings to you and yours and to all.
If You see here because of the lack of rain in Texas and really other states, that this year's crops are simply not there. The grain is not developing, is not growing. And notice, by the way, she said something about storing for 3 years. Storing for 3 years. Something I think we need to really listen to. So in addition to the pandemic, the war in Ukraine, and the other reasons we've already talked about, we find here the weather is also making a difference. And of course, we here in Missouri, we've had our own heat wave. I think it's ever been since the middle of June. It's been nearly 100 degrees almost every day, at least it feels that way. And we've had very little rain up until just this week. So we're seeing this weather pattern and the impact on the agriculture. Now, again, this message is not to concern you or scare you, but again, it is to sound the alarm. As Yahweh's people, we need to be aware and, I believe, prepare for what may be coming upon this world. You know, whether it's a great reset, again, whether it's a war in Ukraine, whether it's this odd climate that we're seeing, and not only here, by the way, I think it was Britain that was, England that was seeing horrible heat waves that was certainly not normal for them. So it's happening not only here, but also throughout this world. You know, I believe famine is a real threat, and as believers, we need to, again, to prepare for this coming time. Now, Bible prophecy speaks about famine. I want to share with you two examples. The first one is from Joshua, Matthew 24. This is known as the Olivet Prophecy. So verse 3 says, "And he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, what shall these things be? And listen, it says, what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? Those events are one and the same. Yahshua's coming will mark the end of this world, the end of this age. So in verse 7, one of the signs, Yahshua gave her several signs here. It says, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. Notice that. We find in prophecy that there will be famines. Prophecy foretells that there's going to be famines. It says, and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. In this passage, we find several signs that will occur at the end of this age. And are we nearing the end? I've never been one to predict days or times. I'm not going to begin today. But I do believe that we're seeing many of the signs that we find within Scripture. Joshua speaks here about kingdoms and nations going to war. The word nation comes from the Greek ethnos. Ethnos generally is understood as a tribe or a race. Based on this, many believe that we will not only see wars between nations, sovereign nations, but also wars within, civil war. I was watching a video that last week from an economist. And this economist was speaking about all the signs and trends that we're seeing within this nation, including political. Politically, we've never been more divided as a nation. We are more divided than we were in the 50s or 40s or whenever. We are divided with no hopes, in my opinion, of reconciling the two sides. Based on this economist's view, he believes that there is a one of three chance that we could see civil war within this nation. That was based on the economy, that was based on the political trend, that was based on multiple criteria. But he said, according to his view, based again on the trends, that there's a 1 in 3 chance that we will see civil war within this nation. I've said this in the past. I believe that we could see civil war in this nation. You look at how the left, the backlash because of the abortion case with the Supreme Court, and when it does not go their way, that they resort to violence. And there's many people like us that will not change our views either. There is a great, great divide within this nation. And again, based on this and the economic trends and everything else we're seeing, the other thing this economist pointed out just interestingly, he said that there is a trend now of people moving to their state that corresponds to their ideology. So if you're liberal, you move to California, you move to New York. If you're conservative, you move to Missouri or Texas or Idaho or some of these other states. Again, just a greater divide where you will see more and more separation between nations. The Missouri will be more and more different from California, and California will be more and more different from Missouri because of the demographic changes. It's actually very, it was a very interesting video. It was 20, 30 minutes evaluating, again, the trends that we're seeing within this nation. Based on the growing political differences, again, I've said this for years. We also see Joshua make reference to famine here. We're already seeing the growing possibility of a growing famine in the world. It's not just here. In the world, we're seeing famine. As believers, again, I believe it's time that we begin storing food and water along with others. And I know some of you are doing this already, and good for you. But if you're not doing this, I would encourage you to really consider to store food and water and other essentials. It is time that we prepare. It is time that we plan and we make preparation for this time to come. Now, the video that the lady on the video, she said she's preparing for 3 years. That's quite a challenge, by the way, preparing for 3 years. We'll talk about preparing and what it involves and includes and the amount of food that you would need to store to prepare for even just 1 year, more or less 3 years. Now, you can do it. You can certainly do it. And there's enough food items out there where you can store for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. In fact, they've found containers in Egypt. They've unearthed. It's full of grain. And guess what? The grain's still good 2,000 years after. So grain lasts a long time if stored in the right way. I want to also look at another prophecy. Revelation 6, 5 through 6. This is the third horseman. And the third horseman, by the way, the horseman, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, the horseman corresponds to the Olivet prophecy. All the prophecies that we find within the four horsemen, and actually the six seals, if you want to get more specific, that they all correspond to the Olivet prophecy. But here in Revelation 5 through 6, it says this, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and in three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Again, this prophecy corresponds to what we find within the Olivet prophecy. There in the Olivet prophecy, Matthew 24, Joshua spoke about what? Joshua spoke about a coming famine. Famine. And I believe that when Joshua speaks about these signs, that these signs are not local signs. These signs are global signs. In other words, when he speaks about earthquakes, we're going to be seeing earthquakes throughout the world. When he speaks about famine, we're going to be seeing famine throughout this world. And here in this prophecy, we find this third horseman. And last week, Brother Josh, he spoke about this prophecy. He explained, rightfully so, that it was about famine. Famine. The word penny here is the word denarius. Brother Josh again went through that. Denarius was a Roman coin worth about one day's labor. So we find here that with one day's labor, that they're going to be able to buy a measure of wheat. Now, according to antiquity, a measure of wheat is a little bit less than one quart. Now, according to most, they will say about one quart or less than one quart is about just enough for one person. So we find here, according to prophecy, that a man will work all day long, and from his labor, he's going to be able to buy a measure for about a quart of wheat. Now, that's not going to be enough to sustain a family. That's just the way it is. Prophecy shows that there will be famine in the latter days. And again, this is not a local famine somewhere in the Middle East or maybe Africa or Asia or South America. This is a famine across this world that we will see that will kill millions, if not more. So as we know from Economics 101, when there is a shortage, the price of that item increases. And that's what we find here. Because of famine, because of a shortage of food, the cost of food will increase. And we're seeing that already here in this nation with the high inflation and the supply chain, that we're seeing this increase in food supply. And because food supply is increasing, the cost is going up. Again, while I'm not one to predict days or times, I believe many of us probably see the writing on the wall. The writing is on the wall. It is time as believers that we wake up. It is time that we become alert. It is time that we prepare. It is time that we plan for what is to come. In the Olivet Prophecy, Joshua also speaks about the growth in lawlessness or sin. And he says, for this reason, he says, that the love of many will grow cold or become calloused. When I think about this passage, the thing that always comes to mind is Nazi Germany and what they did, the atrocities that they committed. It's hard to believe that they could kill 6 million Jews and so many others. They're without remorse. I think we would all agree that sin and immorality are on the increase, which I believe we would also agree is destroying this nation. Whether it's the homosexual movement, whether it's the transgender movement, whatever it is. One of the signs of this is the mass shootings we're now seeing across the country. My grandfather, he carried his gun to school and back every day. And so did his classmates. He talked to me about this. He was born 1914. There was no mass shootings back then. But now we see mass shootings. Why? Have you ever noticed that young men are the ones most often committing these crimes? Have you noticed that? It's the young men. While many are blaming guns, I believe the problem goes much deeper. You see, nobody wants to talk about the root cause of everything we're seeing in this nation. The root cause is the breakdown of immorality. The root cause is the breakdown of traditional values that's transformed this nation as a shining light. But these morals are being destroyed. We also see again the acceptance of homosexuality and now transgenderism. Well, the Bible defines homosexuality as an abomination, and that's what it says. It's an abomination. I believe that transgenderism may be even worse. You know, it's worse from the standpoint that it's even more vile or twisted. Think about it. A man claiming to be a woman, or a woman claiming to be a man, or a person claiming to be a neutral gender, or maybe a fluid gender that they change. It's so bad that now it's not only gender, but it's species. Some claim that they are a cat. Now, no joke. No joke. I'm not trying to be funny. I mean, it's kind of humorous, but they claim to be a cat. They claim to be a dog. And I'm going to tell you the things they do. They will wear clothing that looks like a dog. Or I mean, it's just, I did a quick Google search. There are supposedly 72 different genders now. 72 different genders. That's according to Google. There is debate on that, but Google said 72 genders. Now, how many genders does Yahweh define? Two. You got male and female. There's only two genders. No matter how hard this world tries to change and manipulate and modify what Yahweh's put in place, there will always be two genders. There's not this fluid gender, not this this neutral gender, or this I'm claiming to be a lady and I'm actually a biological man. Now, how does this all relate to the Great Reset? Where I believe it's all connected. For them to reshape this world, they must first remove religion, and they must eliminate the norms that divide their goals. You see, they must have a common denominator, a common playing field. And for that to happen, they must destroy religion. They must destroy Christianity. They must destroy anybody who would believe in the Bible. They must remove the traditional values that we've held for hundreds of years in this nation to again transform and make these radical changes that they desire to make. I believe that what we are seeing may well be a deliberate plan. Some people believe that this is just happening, that people are doing X, Y, and Z. No, this is a deliberate plan, I believe, to, again, radically transform this nation. For this reason, as believers, we will have to increasingly remove ourselves from this world. And that's an important lesson, even, especially for the young people. Again, this is the last year of my children, my daughters, attending the public school system. No more. Now, my oldest, she's been homeschooled for a while now, and my youngest will start this year, this fall. The public school system can no longer be trusted with our children. I believe that. I believe that they must be removed. They must be removed. Even here in Mid-Missouri, we are beginning to see this transgender movement within our schools. In fact, not too far from here, a public high school in Columbia, Missouri, is installing what they are calling a transition closet. And they're getting funding for this. I think it was $10,000 to implement this transition closet. Well, this way, your kid can leave your home dressed as a boy, and then go to school, and they can use this closet to dress like a girl. So Johnny, which identifies as a girl, can leave his home, can go to the school, change from his boy clothes into his girl clothes without his parents ever knowing it. This is the garbage that is being pushed upon our schools. Even here in Jefferson City, I noticed the counselor for the high school we were corresponding with here recently. And in her signature, she had her personal pronouns. Now, thankfully, they were right. She's a girl, and it was she and her, so I'm glad. But the fact that she had to put her personal pronouns concerned me. Should concern everyone. In fact, I saw that at work the other day. Somebody sent me an email, and they had their personal pronouns in their signature line. And again, thankfully, it was the right personal pronouns. But it's not always the case. You know, whether it's next month, year, or maybe even further out, we know that hard times are coming upon this world. We know that famine is coming upon. Yahshua said that famine would befall this world. Yahshua said that sin would become so great that the heart of man would become cold. I believe that we are seeing this occurring. I believe that we are seeing these signs. This is a time to prepare. Listen, once it's too late, it's too late. There's already a shortage of grain. There's already a shortage in food. In fact, I was calling to order a fairly large quantity. And they said, no, you can't do that because of the shortage of food. Now is the time. Now is the time. If we want to prepare, and we should, we need to, now is the time. Not next month, not 6 months, not a year, not 2 years. Now is the time to prepare for what is to come. We need to store food. We need to store water or have some sort of supply of water. And we need to store other essentials. I want to look at some examples now from Scripture about preparing. It's important for us to realize and understand this is a biblical concept. In fact, I read a book years ago, and it talked about how only in modern times have we lost this concept of preparing and having food stuff within storage. It's always a norm to have food supply stored away. But again, only in modern times. Why? Because we can go to Walmart or some other place and we can buy groceries and it's always there. We don't have to worry. But we know from prophecy that there is coming a great famine. And I believe that we are seeing evidence of that famine looming even now. So let's look at some examples of preparation. In fact, the first one here is from Joseph. We're all familiar. We're reading the story of Joseph within the service here. Genesis 41, 33 through 36 says, "And now therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 or 20% of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years." You see, they were going to have 7 years of plenty followed by what? 7 years of famine. So they knew famine was coming. They knew famine was coming. And to mitigate this threat, this was Joseph's recommendation to Pharaoh. It says, "Let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine." How many years is the great tribulation? 3.5 years. Now, the tribulation, 7 years, is kind of trick. 7 years for the tribulation. The great tribulation is 3.5 years. And I will say from prophecy, it does seem to indicate that this famine will occur in the beginning of the tribulation. 3.5 years. So it's probably good to have 3 years of food put away. It's probably something we all should be doing. We find here that through the wisdom of Joseph, that Pharaoh instructed Egypt to stockpile the grain for 7 years, during the 7 years of plenty, for the 7 years of famine. And as a result, we know that many, many survived that would not have. So we see an example here of physical preparation in advance of hard times, specifically famine. I believe that we may be facing, again, a real, very similar scenario of what we find here. But the difference is, instead of being a regional threat, as I believe this likely was within the Middle East, I believe this threat is going to be global. It's going to be a global threat. And once it's too late, once we're beyond the years of plenty, once we're beyond the years of plenty, there will be no way to store food. You see, you store food when there's food to store. Now is the time to begin to store, to prepare. I could be wrong. We could go 5, 10 years from now and nothing may happen. But if we do this right, you can store grain again for 20, 30, 40 years longer. It's important, I believe, that we have food and water and other essentials. Based on the signs we are seeing in this nation and based on the prophecy we know we have within Yahweh's word. What would have happened if Joseph or Pharaoh would have ignored the signs of Yahweh, would have ignored this dream? Or if they would have ignored the dream and the signs that Yahweh gave, many people would have starved. They would have died. They would have flourished during the 7 years of plenty, but many would have died during the 7 years of famine. And as believers, again, I believe that the signs are here, could be here. Again, I'm not one to predict dates or times, but I believe, again, we all see the writing on the wall. It is time that we take this serious. And let's not put this on the shelf. Let's not wait for 6 months or a year before taking action. Let's take action now. I believe we need to take action now. In the past, I've heard people say that storing food in response to hard times shows a lack of faith. As you can imagine, I disagree with that thought. I don't believe that this shows a lack of faith. And this, if this was the case, then Pharaoh, or Joseph, was a man of faithlessness. Because Joseph saw the value in preparing. He understood the need and the reason why having a storage of food was necessary for the 7 years of famine. And we need to feel the same. You know, I believe most who share this belief do so out of rebellion or just simply laziness. Some people don't want to be bothered. Some people believe that they're always going to be able to go down to Walmart or Mosier's or some other grocery store to buy their groceries. And maybe this will continue beyond the next several years. But if the trend continues, and there's many, many signs, again, the war in Ukraine, these people buying farmlands and converting them to something else, the pandemic, the supply chain issue, the weather patterns. There are so many different signs and so many reasons to be concerned. Not concerned spiritually, but concerned physically, concerned about what may be coming upon this world. And again, we know prophetically that this will happen. And when it happens, again, I want to really impress upon you, it will be too late. If we try to prepare during the years of famine, it will be too late. We prepare during the years of plenty, when there is food to prepare. We prepare then. So again, we find the example of being responsible, being ready and willing to prepare for hard times as a biblical concept. There's a common saying, and it's not found in the Bible, but I believe it does hold some truth, and that is Yahweh helps those who help themselves. Again, out of the Bible. But I've known some people, they really don't do anything. They just kind of sit back because they have the opinion, Yahweh's just going to work it out for me. Listen, in life, Yahweh wants us to take action. Yahweh wants us to do things. If we want something, we need to pursue it, whether it's a job or an opportunity or whatever it is. Yahweh wants us to take action, not to sit idle, not to wait on him. I've had people tell me that for the most ridiculous reasons, reasons that anyone else would say, look, just go and do it. But their attitude was, well, I'm going to wait for Yahweh. Where again, Yahweh wants us to take action. I believe that. Yahweh blesses those who will put the effort in. But we have to put the effort in. And again, in this case, I believe if we ignore the signs, if we ignore the current food shortage, if we ignore the increase in sin, if we ignore the wars, if we ignore the signs and do nothing, it will be too late. Proverbs 6, beginning in verse 6, we learn a lesson even from an ant. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which have no captain, overseer, ruler. Provides her supplies in the summer, gathers her food in the harvest. From the ant, one of insects' smallest, or nature's smallest insects, we learn the value of planning and preparing for what is to come. Solomon says here, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. In Hebrew, the word sluggard refers to a lazy person. A lazy person, a person that wants to sit idle, a person that doesn't take action, a person that's going to say, yeah, we will do it all for me. No, we need to be like an ant. We need to prepare. We need to store. We need to be wise like the ant, as we find here. Solomon compares the ant with wisdom because the ant prepares for what is to come. And again, I believe that we're seeing the signs of what is to come. Matthew 25, verse 1, passage we're all familiar with, I'm sure. Starting there at verse 1, it says, and the king of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins, kingdom of heaven, who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then till all the virgins arose, then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Master, Master, open to us. But he answered and said, Assuredly, I say unto you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So we find here 10 virgins. 5 were wise, and 5 were foolish. Now, who were the wise? Were the wise who were the ones who had excess oil, who had made preparation in advance? They had sufficient oil for their lamps. You know, it boggles my mind how some people can look at this example and still have this view that preparation is unnecessary, or preparation is a lack of faith. If anything, this example shows that when we see signs coming, that we need to prepare. Notice that when the bridegroom came and the foolish had insufficient oil, that they missed their opportunity. They missed their opportunity. And I believe that it could happen that if we don't store and show wisdom and make preparation now, that we may not be able to get by our oil. Is once again the years of famine are here, or once the bridegroom comes, or whatever other analogy you want to make, when it's too late, it's too late. And for the foolish virgins, it was too late. You see, they should have made preparation beforehand. They should have bought additional oil. But again, they were foolish. They were foolish because they did not make preparation. They were foolish because they did not plan ahead. So what are we doing as Yahweh's people? Are we planning ahead? Are we looking at this crisis? And it is a crisis. Anybody who believes that what we are seeing right now in this world is not a crisis, you're blind. It is a crisis. It is a crisis on multiple levels. And I believe that in many ways we're buffered here in this nation. And again, many people, they have this opinion where America's too big or too great to ever fail. I'm telling you, I don't believe that. I don't believe America is too great or too big to fall, to succumb to these signs that we find within Scripture. We need to be like the wise virgins here. We need to show wisdom. And how do we show wisdom? We again show wisdom by preparing, by making plans, by being proactive, by making sure that our food supply is adequate for a possible famine, for a possible food shortage, for a possible supply chain issue, for a possible war that we may not know about yet, for a possible great reset. There are so many reasons to be concerned. And again, not spiritually. Not spiritually. We should never be concerned spiritually. We should always realize that we have Yahweh as our guide and as our help. But there's reason to be concerned physically for what is to come. I believe that this parable is invaluable. It offers an invaluable lesson to us that we need to prepare for these coming times. Are we going to be, again, like the foolish and ignore it, or like the wise and make preparation now? Matthew 24. Yahshua, again, gives another parable, Matthew 24, 42 through 44. It says, But watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your master is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, this is a reference to Yahshua's coming, but I want to apply this to this concept of preparing and having a plan. You see, if this person would have known when the thief would break in, he would have prevented this thief from breaking into the home. And I believe in like manner, if we plan now, we will be ready and prepared. But if we don't, it's going to be as a thief breaking in. And there's nothing we can do once that thief breaks in. There's nothing we can do when the famine is here. There's nothing we can do when there's no grain to buy. And believe me, I know because I've been looking, I've been calling these suppliers. And they're telling me that you can't buy bulk because there's not enough grain to buy. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. We heard in Texas, that farmer, there's no rain. Historic highs. Nothing's growing. She said it. She's a farmer. It's going to be years. And that's assuming things improve. But it's going to be years before the crops here in this nation levels out. So important that as believers, we take these things seriously. And I want to just impress upon everybody that now is the time. I really believe that now is the time. If you haven't prepared, if you don't have food supplies at home, long-term food, get and buy some food supplies. So we've talked about prophecy. We've seen passages supporting this concept of preparing. I want to give you some real-life examples of what this looks like. So here's a few article or a few websites all focused kind of on this thought of making preparation. So this is a buildastash.com. And I've noticed that these websites fairly well align with one another, what they're recommending, some a little bit more than others. But the question is, how much food do we need for one person for 1 year? One person, 1 year. So according to this site, it says dry staples are the food items that are an absolute must-have for storing your food. These are items that can be stored for a long time without spoiling or going bad. They can have a shelf life of up to 30 years when stored properly. So 30 years is a long time. The most common dry staple foods included grains, legumes, and dried beans. You should aim to store around 450 total pounds of grains and beans for each person in your household. 450 pounds. I'm going to say it one more time just in case. 450 pounds of grain and beans. Do you have 450 pounds for you and maybe your spouse or maybe your family? This is 1 year, by the way. This is not 2 years or 3 years. This is 1 year. 450 pounds. And again, this is fairly consistent amongst those who believe in preparing. Preparednessadvice.com, it gives kind of a list of what we should be storing. It says grains, wheat, rice, corn, or other cereal grains, 300 pounds per person. Non-fat dry milk, 75 pounds per person. Sugar or honey, 75 pounds per person. Salt, 5 pounds per person. Fats or oil, 20 pounds per person. Dried legumes, beans, peas or lentils, 60 pounds per person, garden seed. So again, just another site, list of those items we should all have if hard times would ever befall us. And again, I really want to impress upon you, because I know there's this attitude out there that preparing is a bad thing, that preparing is a lack of faith. I'm telling you, there's no truth to this concept that preparing is a lack of faith. We see example after example after example within Scripture that we're to prepare. And only in modern times, again, do we not prepare. All throughout the history of mankind, they knew that things were uncertain. And because of the continued uncertainty, everybody had food storage. Everybody. But today that's no longer the case, but it needs to be. It needs to be. One more source here. This is from readysquirrel.com. For a 1 year supply of food per person, store 400 pounds of grain, 60 pounds of dry beans, 16 pounds of powdered milk, 10 quarts of cooking oil, 60 pounds of white table sugar or honey, 8 pounds of salt, and a minimum of 365 gallons of portable water per person. It's a lot of food. It's a lot of storage. And this is 1 year per person. I really hope that this kind of sinks in. I hope that we're looking at this list and we're thinking, how can I make preparation now for me and my family? How can I ensure that I have this stuff in storage now, not 6 months from now, not a year from now. I'm telling you, prices are going up. These suppliers, they literally told me, that call back in a few days, maybe it will change. But right now, because of the shortage of food, we can't sell in that quantity. It is happening now. And now is the time to prepare. So let me give you a cost. And there's other suppliers. This is from AzureStandard.com. And our brother Josh is a big proposal or advocate of this. It's all organic. So this is not everything. This is, I say here, minimum, bare minimum 1 year. And this is not everything. Salt's not on here. Other items that you probably need are not on the list. But this is bare minimum. So 8 50-pound bags of organic wheat. That's 400 pounds. That's $341.60 right now, as of yesterday. Also, lentils, if we go the lentils route, go beans or whatever, but I put here 3 25-pound bags of organic lentils, $44.32 a bag, comes to $132.96. So this is one person. So the cost per person, total cost, and this is not everything. This is bare minimum, bare minimum, $474.56. Now, for a family of four, it's $1,898.24, and this is not everything. I believe it is time that we make preparation for what possibly could come. And if we do it right, we have food storage that will last 20, 30 years. And if it doesn't happen now, we know prophetically it will happen. And if it doesn't happen when we think it should happen, we then donate the food. It's not going to go to waste. But it's important that we prepare now. Again, based on the trends that we're seeing, I believe that now is a time less prepared during the years of plenty. And we're really not even in the years of plenty if you think about it. But we're certainly not yet in the years of famine. So now is a time. Now is a time. 400 pounds of grain, 75 pounds of lentils or beans for every person in your household. Keep in mind that this, again, is below the bare minimum. I don't have listed here sugar or honey or salt or any of these other products that they are suggesting. This is long-term storage that we can store and survive. And we also need water. I want to close by talking about the most important concept. And that's found in Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Master and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of Elohim that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." We need to remember that everything that is happening in this world is really of Satan. It really is. He is driving everything that we find. He wants to see this great reset. He wants to see this new world order. He wants to see this globalism. And he wants to see the man of sin. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of Elohim, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the good news of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Elohim." Paul is encouraging believers here to put on the whole armor of Yahweh. It's important to be physically prepared. It really is. But it's more important to be prepared spiritually. Notice some of the different parts of the armor here. It says we see here breastplate of righteousness, the good news of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Now, Why is it important as believers that we put on the whole armor of Yahweh? Why is this important? Where Paul speaks about here how our fight is not against flesh and blood. He says that it's against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and a spiritual wickedness in high places. So often do we see maybe a political person or an organization, maybe like the World Economic Forum. But our enemy is not them. Our enemy is much, much deeper than them. Our enemy is the wickedness, the principalities, the powers of darkness. That's the enemy. That's what we're to see. But we know it's there. As believers, not only should we prepare physically, and again, opponent, while we can, to prepare physically. But more importantly, we need to prepare spiritually. We need to make sure, listen, this time, if it happens within our lifetime, Yahshua said in the Olivet Prophecy, that there would never be a time worse than the time of the Great Tribulation. Never in the history of mankind, and never will it occur again. The time of the Great Tribulation, if it would occur and happen within our lifetime, Yahshua said that this would be the worst. So think about all the horrible atrocities within the history of mankind. Think about all the horrible things that we have seen. Nazi Germany and millions murdered ruthlessly. Scripturally, Yahshua said that even these times will not compare in horror to what we will see during the Great Tribulation. We need to be prepared spiritually. And truthfully, this whole storage encouragement is a stopgap. That's all it is to help us get through. Because I do believe prophetically that Yahweh's going to take his people out, that Yahweh's going to feed his people. We see this in the book of Revelation where he talks about the woman being taken out into the wilderness, being fed. Trepho is a Greek. It means to fatten or to feed. So Yahweh's going to do this. But there's going to be a time, I believe, that falls upon this earth, just like Israel had to go through the first few plagues of Egypt. That as believers, we will have to go through the first few plagues of this world before Yahweh pulls us out and provides for our needs. So this is a stopgap. But more importantly, the most important thing is that we are living according to Yahweh's word, and we are living in faith, and we are putting our trust in him. You know, those who do so will be accounted, I believe, as the five wise virgins. And they will be given access into Yahweh's kingdom. At the end of the day, nothing is more important than salvation in Yahweh's kingdom. Everything we do in this life should be aligned with this one and single goal. I pray that this message has been a blessing. Again, I believe it's crucial. I believe it's time that we prepare. Prepare physically, and also prepare spiritually. So again, I pray that you would take this to heart, and I would hope that you would not wait 6 months or a year to take action. This message today is a call to action. This message today is do it now. Make preparations now. If you're not doing it or have not done it, make preparations now while you have time. Now again, it may be fine for the next 5, 10, 15 years. I don't know. But we certainly see the signs we are seeing are concerning. The war, the supply chain, the weather, the shortage of food, it is all very concerning. And as believers, we need to be smart, we need to plan, we need to prepare both, again, physically and spiritually. May Yahweh bless you.